Doctor Who, season whatever it is, episode one, Deep Breath. Breath. Now I'd say, because this is a new doctor, Peter Capaldi, first episode gets something of a pass. The fans, I would say the people that watch the show, would be regarding it with something of I don't know the kind of forgiveness that a parent might have for a child's work of art. They only see the good. Now, as time goes on, of course, the critical faculties will kick back in, and who knows what people will think of the new doctor and the new season. So the first episode, I would say it was a below average story. There were some exciting parts to it, some intriguing components, but it didn't play out so very well, start to finish. The story part was itself rather dull. What was interesting and what held us was, who is this doctor? What is he like? And our hunger for that, I think, sustained us to the end and made it watchable and entertaining. But I wouldn't call it a classic. There were some witty lines, some interesting things established. This woman at the end. There's spoilers in this, by the way. Where's River Song when you need her? Spoilers. Let me see if I can say it a bit more upbeat as she would. Seductive spoilers. I can't. I've left none of the seductive powers of my youth have been retained. That's something that happens. You just send all that business packing at a certain point. You give up, cash in your chips. Thank you very much, sir. If you haven't seen it and you want to see it, I will be ruining the episode. So, hey, some funny bits. That Strax fellow looks like a potato, joined into a thumb and became an alien creature. It never ceases to be funny when he calls Clara or any young woman a boy. And there were some lines about taking a coat. And when she allows that she has no coat, he suggests taking her clothes. And when she says she needs her clothes, he suggests taking a hat. And when she says she has no hat, that's her hair, he suggests taking her hair. He's not convinced. And he throws a newspaper and knocks her down. Good bit of high telegraphed slapstick, but anyone falling down can be amusing. Especially when they're taken down by a light object, feather, newspaper, balloon. I don't know if I've ever seen a balloon take a man down, or a woman. I'm sure I'd laugh. Little balloon bouncing into some man's face. Down he goes. Now another complaint, that this is almost a personal complaint. It's about some, I imagine this is, would be familiar. I really couldn't understand Peter Capaldi for large tracts of the episode. He was sort of self-talking a lot, trying to figure out things, this and that. He had that kind of, that way that you turn your voice inward when you're talking to yourself. He's trying to figure things out. Well, now, where am I? Now, who am I thinking about? What's wrong with my face? Am I Scottish? There's almost a quality of curvature to the voice, as though it bends back upon itself. So that added to the rush of words. He's a fast talker. added to the Scottish. And added to the language itself. Couldn't follow much of it. Of course, bits I could, but they were, you know, you have to let that all go. And as time goes on, you get used to it. We're learning him. I think we spent a good bit of time, too much time, almost lamenting the fact that he's older, as though they, Stephen Moffat, the rest of the team, had some sort of hysteria around whether we'd accept it. We've had these two young, strapping fellows in the seat for the last 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is, 7, 12, 14. What are we going to do now that this presumably old man who's in his 50s. Are we going to be so shocked? Is there a problem that he isn't a pin-up character? He's not in a boy band. So I think they played that a bit too hard. They seem to have attempted to give Clara a bit of spark. Some people found her boring, sort of a china doll. I don't recall feeling that way myself, but I believe the makers, the who makers, I'll call them, do have it as a part of their goal to colorize her character, make her more a unique thing, someone perhaps more like Amy Pond or Rose Tyler, something strong and clean. We understand all of her just by looking at her, which you could with those two. Donna Noble as well, strong and clean and herself and unique. I think it's a nice shift, the dynamic between the Doctor and Clara must at this point shift. There can not be any romance at all, no hint of it, and that's always been lurking there, back through the beginning of this with Christopher Eccleston. The possibility of budding romance is there, is it not? They play with it, they don't push it too hard. But it'll be a different kind of caring, I think, that we see between them. And I, for one, am relieved by that. It's not that I dislike romantic entanglements or romantic tensions. But I think there'll be a sweetness to the relationship, an innocent kind of sweetness. And it does seem that they've played down who the Queen of Hearts will be for this. Perhaps season or number of shows at least. This mysterious woman at the end of the show, who seems to be quite fixated on the Doctor, and if I understood it right, seems to have been the one who originally brought Clara and the Doctor together and then placed that little advertisement in the newspaper. So she's sort of almost a godlike quality to her. Not simply because of the fact that she calls the place that she's in heaven or paradise or whatever it is, even if it seems somewhat playful or playfully presented to this robot fellow. Suppose if you haven't seen the episode. This all sounds ridiculous. And it is ridiculous. Honestly, the most beautiful thing to me about Doctor Who The most beautiful thing to me about it is that it's a conveyance for any story under the sun. It's any book that you want. Every episode has that quality to it of a new book by a different author from a different time. I thought that notion of anything goes, a new book, that should be a format that others might try to emulate or follow, discover some system of props by which they could deliver this kind of endlessly various type of story. Same characters, recurring characters, recurring villains, but still, you can go anywhere in the world and have any sort of adventure that you like. It's brilliant. I delight in that when I watch the show. I delight in that absurd blue box and what it means. It is the front and back cover of a book we've not yet read, of an endless, infinite series of books, to use its own concept. And the show itself, like the box, has that same distracting bearing, but it's small, circumnavigable in a few seconds, and yet inside it is an infinity. Very envious. I would like to come up with an idea that allowed for such travel. I don't really mean envious. I say that because I want to express my admiration . It's my way of applauding. Apparently there was some dust-up about a supposed kiss between the married lizard and the servant girl. Can't remember their names now. But for one, sort of sneaky kind of thing that you could say was not a kiss, although it resembled one physically. In the story they passed it off as a breath shift. It was mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That's such a long-standing old kind of gag. The kiss of life mingling with something somehow romantic. But apparently people have, if they're not up in arms, there's some sort of uproar. Go away, I say, with your arms. Although they did make it very kissy, I must say. It was the most kissy passing of breath I have ever yet seen. It's delightful, these two. This cross-species love affair. It's charming. So that's it. I'll give it a... I hate giving it, but I'm going to give it. Simply to do it, because it's all so fun. Isn't it fun to rate things with numbers and letters, grades, so on? It's not fair. The thing is, it's a subjective experience, and then it gets converted into an objective form. And it's never right. So I could say, thought it was a C+. I would give that a 6 on a scale from 1 to 10. And that might be a kind of average. Some internal averaging is going on with me. But I don't feel like I want to change the episode. I want it to be what it is, and I was entertained, and I'm hungry to know more about this Capaldi. I hope they drop the age. I hope they cease being concerned about him being older and having lines on his face and slightly grey hair. I don't think anyone cares. And I thought Clara cared too much. I'm bothered when problems seem invented. They come up with something and say, well, let's... The doctor changes, he regenerates, he's new, he's older. Let's have Clara be upset about it. We'll see, we'll go through the experience of her upset, because it's possibly going to be upset the audience feels, and she'll carry that for us. And as she comes to terms with it, the audience will come to terms with it. That's fine in a meeting about the story, but then when it comes down to it, I don't really think Clara would have felt that way at all. She's always been a bit nonplussed in that regard. Now, I think they try to get away with something when she says, I don't feel like I know you anymore. And then the first 45 minutes of the program, it seems like she's distressed because he looks different. And that gets shifted into something that it really hasn't been when she says, I don't feel like I know you anymore. That's just a bit of a realignment back to who she more properly is. That's what she should have felt at the beginning. But we don't get that. We get her being troubled by his looks. Anyway, I'm belaboring that. Well, I'm a belaborer. Looking up at the old Big Dipper. Apparently, if you know the constellations, you know there are, I can't remember, 55, 60 constellations, 40. Don't use me as a reference for examinations, but less than 100, more than 12. Apparently, if you know 12, 15 of them, you can get your way around the sky with relative ease. So far I know the Dipper, the Great Bear. Cassiopeia is kind of a W somewhere. I see no W's. Lastly, last problem, then no more of it. When Matt Smith became the doctor, his regeneration became something comical and joyous and quite simple and clear. He goes crashing to Earth, and then he's with Amy Pond as a child, and he wants to eat all these strange foods, and it's very amusing. And he's astonished by his hair and his arms and his legs and that self-discovery that I suppose must take place every time he regenerates. And that was it. This one, the doctor suffers this stroke-like experience where he doesn't really know who he is for some time or who anyone else is. He's almost been traumatized by the regeneration, which is fine and interesting thing to run with. But as the episode proceeds, you're never quite sure where he stands in terms of himself. Does he yet know who he is? What does he know? And we are never really put in touch with that. I think our sense is supposed to be quieted, and we're supposed to realise at the end that he knows himself because he recalls the phone call that he made to Clara. I think that's supposed to clue us in and say, okay, he's back in his body. But it was rather a distressing way for us to get to know someone who actually isn't quite there yet. Here's this new doctor, we all want to get to know him, and yet he's all in a tither. He's all bumbled up. I don't know if that's clever, that we're hungry to get to know this new person, and yet they're there and not there at the same time, or whether that's actually clumsy and something gets dropped and now we have to really wait until the next one, and it's not really a pleasing sort of tension, more of frustration. So that played out awkwardly, and also it was, you want to know that the doctor that you care about still has a frame of reference and knows the people that are important to him, because his relationship to them is very primal for us, I think. We're very pleased, in a self-congratulatory type of way, that this Gallifreyan, thousands of years old and much more brilliant than we can ever understand, that he would care for us and treat us almost like equals. And yet that is gone. His compass is gone. He doesn't know Clara, not really. He doesn't know Strax or Lizard or assistant girl. And so he's very alone and isolated and really separated from us by that. And maybe that's wise, to cut him from his moorings and let him drift away, and then he disappears for a while as well. Perhaps that's fitting. These might all be wise things, I just don't know. And maybe my feelings of discomfort or lack of pleasure around them only signal a possible coming strength as we get to know him more. And all those little cords that were cut, perhaps they get tied together. And that becomes some sort of stronger thing. Instead of blithely going over his regeneration and we just accept it, it's just much more traumatic. All right, at the end of this, I'm going to hold my breath, see how long I go. All right, so now I'm going to do here is hold my breath. I haven't done that for many years. Not on purpose, anyway. I haven't started yet, thinking about it. It's like I don't know how to do it anymore. Or I'm worried, keel over. Here we go. Count three. 1, 2. I could keep going, but I got bored. Come to think of it, I give the episode an A+ and a 10.